In today's episode of the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast, I talk with somebody that's just amazing, Katie Martin, and she's going to talk about the keys to empowering your staff and students, the importance of choice in the classroom for all involved, how to push through fear, and to start the process. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Welcome to the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast, where school leaders go to find inspiration and learn world-class strategies from top influencers in education. Better Leaders, Better Schools was created by Daniel Bauer.
Well, hey, Better Leaders, Better Schools listeners, we are in for a treat today. My guest is Katie Martin, and she is awesome. She works with districts and individual schools to facilitate teacher innovation through sustained, personalized professional learning, with a focus on developing the global competencies of all students. Katie works with instructional leaders to support and empower teachers to integrate technology and transform learning, teaching, and leading. Prior to joining USD, Katie spent 10 years in Hawaii on the leeward coast of Oahu, teaching middle school English language arts and was a school-based literacy coach. Katie continued as a new teacher mentor and coordinator of district programs to support and retain effective teachers. Katie, thank you so much for joining me on the show today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Katie, what would you say inspired you to pursue a career in education?
It's a great question. I think that my journey into education was a little different than most teachers. My mom is a teacher, and I grew up wanting to be anything but a teacher because, you know, I didn't want to be like my mom. I wanted to be different. As I went through school, didn't really feel connected as much to my teachers, and I liked more of the social aspect of school more than the academic part of it a lot of times. And I often felt like I didn't really have a voice and choice in my education, so I was kind of frustrated. So as I went through school and became less interested in the academic aspect of it, when I went to college, I started to find out that I was more interested in the classes in education, and I decided that I wanted to be a teacher, not because I love school, but because I wanted to create new and better experiences for kids than I had as a student myself.
Yeah, that's really interesting, you know, a powerful motivator too, because when you see that things could be improved and you have this sense, I'm guessing, in your gut that it can be better and I can do it better, it really motivates you to push through and give your best, in this case with you in the education industry.
Absolutely. I was just going to say, when I remember having to, you know, teachers tell me I had to read something or I had to do something, and I always thought that there was a better way. So I was excited to be an English teacher and allow kids choice in their own learning pathways.
No, that's a super point. And, you know, I think when leading a school, when creating environments to really push our children, the idea of choice, right, with all kinds of kids is going to get the most out of them, right? How did you incorporate that into your class as a teacher, and how do you do it these days too?
Great question. Like I was saying, I was a seventh grade English teacher to start out. So I would make sure that I was figuring out what kids were interested in, and we would have topics. One of the topics we were studying was World War II. And instead of having one book or a history book that kids had to read, we looked at the diverse perspectives. And I had six or seven books that kids could read and do literature circles. So they got to choose which book they wanted to read, choose which group they wanted to work with. And then we all offered some different perspectives on the World War II based on what they were reading and what they were learning, rather than everybody having to learn the exact same thing in only one perspective.
Yeah, multiple perspectives, especially with history. I mean, that you need to do that because believe it or not, what the textbook says that's sponsored by the school district, it might not always be the way it really happened.
Very true.
So that's so good. So good that you gave those multiple perspectives. It really sharpened your students' minds, I'm sure. Katie, how would you describe your leadership style, and how did you develop this style?
Well, I think it's evolved as I have learned and grown. As a beginning teacher leader, I started off trying to do things for people. I started off trying to create lessons for people and make sure I was helping them because I know teachers are so busy. And I quickly found out that I wasn't helping them or making it easier on them. So I really worked to empower teachers and leaders and my staff that I currently work with to make sure that I'm providing opportunities for them to grow and develop and really pursue their own interests. So at a school level, it was really important that teachers were designing their own curriculum and getting to know their students. And we could create the space for teachers to work together. We could provide opportunities to learn from one another and really create opportunities for teachers to be leaders rather than having to follow a curriculum or implement somebody else's ideas. And I think that's translated to my work at the University of San Diego. I have a great team, and instead of creating programs and manuals for people to go out and train other people, we really believe in empowering leaders, empowering educators by creating, again, the space, facilitating learning opportunities, and providing models and different experiences that can help them think about how they want to do things differently in their own classrooms or schools.
Yeah, I was going to follow up with that because, you know, I was reading through your blog posts and rewatching the TEDx talk that you gave, and the idea of empowering staff members, empowering students to show that their voices matter. You know, I heard you talk about the space having models, so I'm guessing, you know, resources too to tap into. But if I'm a principal and I want to do that, I want to empower my staff, empower my students, what practical tips could you give us in order to do that effectively?
Sure. Well, I think the tendency is, again, like I first started off as a teacher leader, the tendency is everyone's really busy, so I'm going to just tell people what to do or give them a set of resources or a program to follow. But the more I interact with teachers and really see what people want, they have great ideas. And so allowing teachers to come together and talk about the ideas, so the empowerment comes from bringing people together. So as a school principal, highlighting things that teachers are doing in their classrooms, taking pictures, sharing them on Twitter, opening up that space, and allowing teachers to share their best practices, to share their student work, is empowering for those educators, but then also motivates and inspires colleagues as well. So that's one way, is again, creating that space and removing yourself as the principal or leader in giving teachers opportunities to talk about how they're doing it and their ideas and to solve their own problems. A teacher said to me something that I'll never forget. We were working on a challenge that they had, and I think it was something about more authentic discussion in the classroom for students. And one of her colleagues had some great resources, and they came together and shared some ideas and planned a lesson. And it was a couple hours, and then they tried it out, got feedback. And at the end of the day, a teacher said, you know, we can solve our own problems if we're just given the opportunity and the time to do it. And that resonated with me, and I think it was so true. They needed structure and they needed guidance, but they had the resources and the desire to figure out the best way to meet the needs of their students.
Love so much what you said there. And what I hear you is getting out of the way as the leader, right? Not prescribing everything that needs to happen, providing the space so people can collaborate, and giving the folks, the staff, those closest to the problem, giving them the time and the luxury to connect, collaborate, and discuss how they're going to solve their own problems.
Absolutely. And I really want to accentuate, you said get out of the way, and I think that's so important. But it can't be confused with not really being there and showing up. Sometimes we think, oh, I'm just going to let the teachers collaborate on their own. They'll be fine. They don't need me. But I think that there's a fine line between really setting clear expectations and really making sure that there's a high level of understanding of the desired student outcomes and that everyone's moving in the right direction and they have the resources they need. But then once you've done that, then get out of the way.
I'm so glad you made that distinction too, because it's like the difference between tight and loose leadership, and people need to know that you care, right? And that you're present, but you don't have to take over control. So
absolutely.
High expectations, communicate with clarity, tie everything to your mission, vision, values, and then let people work and give encouragement, celebration, correction where needed.
Absolutely.
Katie, you talk a lot about an open door culture as well on your blog. Can you describe what you mean by that? And again, how do we create that in our schools?
Sure. Another, you know, comment I hear all the time from teachers is, wow, I've never seen anybody teach. So I think one of the very first things we need to do is, like you said, open those doors. And by that, I mean getting teachers into each other's classrooms, taking time to walk in and see what it looks like, what teaching and learning looks like on your campus and on other campuses as much as possible. A lot of times we make assumptions. We start talking about ideas in education and we say, I'm empowering my kids or my kids are really engaged. But if we don't see it, we can conjure up some different ideas of what that means. So to build that shared understanding, getting in to each other's classrooms and just understanding the nuances of how we talk to kids, how we organize instruction, how we facilitate different groups is really a really powerful experience for teachers. So beyond just physically getting in classrooms, we also talked about, you know, sharing ideas on Twitter and taking pictures and videos or other forms of social media to see what's happening. And also you can, you know, share student work. It's something that doesn't happen enough. Really, we talk about lesson planning and we share our, you know, 5-step process of how we go through and plan a lesson, but we don't often enough share the student work that has resulted from the learning experiences we create, and that can also open up classroom doors and help teachers understand better what's happening in other classrooms.
Yeah, you know, what's worked really well for me, I'm sure you're familiar with it, but just in case the listeners are not, at my former school, Brooks, we did a lot of instructional rounds, you know, modeled after medical school rounds, and that's just going with a team of staff members. You identify a problem of practice, so maybe it's higher order questioning, and you pop into like 4 or 5 classes. You write down what the teacher says and does, what the students say, what they say and what they do, and then you just objectively look at that evidence. You have a very guided reflection process with all the team members that observed. And the best part is, for the participants, it's thinking about what I saw in all those classes and how that applies to my own art, my own craft, and how can I improve my own teaching. So that's one way that we open doors within Brooks.
I love it. And I think to build on that, that's a great model. And one thing that I try and explain and make sure is really clear for teachers and administrators when we go into classrooms is that it's not about the teacher teaching, that the reflection and your observations should be based on what you can do better as an individual. Because a lot of times as educators, we're perfectionists and we want to make sure we're doing everything right. And so it's really hard to invite people in your classrooms if you think that they're going to critique or evaluate you. So making sure that when you're in classrooms and you're structuring these protocols for instructional rounds, that you're really focusing on yourself as a learner and how you can improve and not how the person you're observing can improve.
Yeah, that's so good. You know, it's such an intensely personal profession. I'm constantly trying to think about like how I can create a culture where we have open doors. We want to learn from each other. It's not about me, right? I want to get better as an educator, but I'm not going to take things personally and stew on that. I try to do that through relationship building, and it's a slow process, right? It takes a lot of time, you know, and you go through some conflicts, but you build trust, you build relational capital. Have you seen anything else that other school leaders use that helps accelerate, I guess, an open door culture in a place where they know it's about the work, it's about the students and improving the craft, and it's not about taking it personally?
Yeah, I agree with you. It's very personal, and it depends heavily upon the culture. So some of the things that I've seen some great leaders do is, one, just to start the process. Sometimes you just have to go start and show people that yes, it's the right way to go. What I've seen too often is the fear to even start because administrators or teachers are afraid of how they'll be perceived. So I think first thing is start, but when you start getting into each other's classrooms, you have to highlight the positives. You have to really show that it is about growth. And I think that the culture and relationships are always sensitive and you always have to attend to them. So always making sure that you're focusing on learning, you're focusing on the students so that people feel safe and comfortable. But I also think that people want to feel pushed. Too often we're afraid to give feedback because we don't want to hurt people's feelings or we want to make sure that they feel safe. And oftentimes I talk to teachers and they say, I want to grow. Someone was in my classroom for 10 minutes and I never heard anything except it was great. Or, you know, they only shared the positives and I really want to know how I can get better. So I think that there's also a, you know, a fine line there about really making sure that there's a clear understanding of the process so that people know how they're going to get feedback and they can expect it is a really, really great way to build culture and to build that ongoing feedback and learning culture at the school.
Yes, our hungry, our teachers that want to improve, they need and deserve that feedback. So listeners, leaders, you must highlight the positives, of course. You want to celebrate your people for what they help happen right on a day-to-day basis with our kids. But give folks, here's a thing to think about. This could, you know, potentially improve your instruction. Or what do you think about this? You know, ask them some reflective questions to get them to set independent goals to share with you and to improve, right? These folks want to grow, and we're doing a disservice if we don't challenge our people to be better. Katie, we talked about the open door culture. We talked about creating a space where the staff can collaborate and solve the problems that they're closest to. Is there anything else you want to mention in terms of supporting teachers to what you call redesign the school experience?
I think just building off of both of those things, the more you can have a shared vision that you can really be clear about what it is that the desired teaching and learning looks like, the better collaboration you're going to have, the more robust learning experiences teachers and students can have. You'll have a better understanding of why you're going into classrooms and what you're looking at. And teachers can really work together to design more powerful learning experiences. But too often, again, we make assumptions that we all know and have the same understanding about what we want to see in classrooms. And we create this stagnant idea. So I think we always want to be evolving and developing our understanding of the classroom. But if we don't have that shared understanding together, you're going to see a lot of people going in different ways, and you're going to have people who are frustrated because they think they're going in that right path. They think they're designing in a way that meets the needs of the students or that meets the goals of the district and the school. But to the extent it can be really clear, and then you can allow teachers to you can empower teachers to be autonomous in their decisions as long as there's a clear vision and expectations.
And let's pause here for a message from our sponsors. Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at betterleadersbetterschools.com/book. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. You know, I'm just like you. I'm a school leader that wants to get better every single day, and that's why I created a free gift for you called The 15 Questions to Unlock Your Leadership Potential. You can grab it today for free by texting the word UNLOCK NOW to 33444. That's UNLOCK NOW to 33444, and The 15 Questions to Unlock Your Leadership Potential will be delivered straight to your inbox. And now back to our show. I'm really interested in your TEDx experience, and I'm wondering, what did you learn about yourself preparing for that talk and then presenting it?
So much. I think that was just one of the most powerful learning experiences, because as I was thinking about learning and, you know, thinking about teaching and learning, I was having the same metacognitive experience for myself. And it was a very quick 4-week time frame that we had set the speaker lineup before the actual event. And I was able to have a coach that I met with 4 different times throughout the process. And being a coach myself and having done that, it was really great to have someone coach me through my learning experience. And, you know, the questions that they posed make me really reflect on my own writing, what I wanted to convey, and help me really communicate my ideas more clearly. So I think having a mentor and having a coach was really instrumental in my learning process. I think that having an authentic audience and something that was a deadline that I had to do, and no matter what, I had to get up on stage. And so it was a very intense learning process that I wanted to make sure I did a good job. The stakes were high, but it was also, you know, in education speak, it was in my zone of proximal development. So it was right there, but I had to push myself. So it forced me to improve my writing, improve my speaking, and improve my speech to have a better presence, I guess. And at the end, having finished it, you know, I felt pretty good about it. There's certainly some things I would change, and if I have the opportunity, that I would hope to improve. But overall, it was just a phenomenal learning experience to have people support me and to have that authentic audience.
And, you know, what you're talking about in terms of having a coach, that's so important in any individual's life, let alone leaders, just to have that type of feedback, right? Outside feedback to walk you through a reflective process to help you improve. I'm glad you gave the talk. You gave it. You were poised. You know, you were confident. You could tell that you knew your stuff. And that's going to be linked in the show notes. So all the listeners that want to check out Katie's TEDx talk, that's there for you. And I hope you check it out and enjoy it. Katie, what would you consider? I've been easy on you now. So what would you consider your worst leadership mistake, and what did you learn from it?
Jeez. I think one of the biggest learning experiences that I have had, and I think this has shown up in a few different leadership positions, and I keep learning, the tendency to want to help or do things for people, I think limits their own creativity, and I think has, from my experience, it cripples relationships. So let me give you an example. Becoming a new leader, wanting to, like I was saying earlier with teachers, wanting to protect the teachers. I know their job was so hard, so I wanted to take on some of that responsibility for them and help create new lessons or help give them programs to make their life easier. And instead, I was removing myself from their needs and creating things for them and then giving them more work, which actually made their job harder. And similarly, in my own, as a leader in at the University of San Diego, I was trying with my team to protect them or whatever, you know, new projects, and thinking that I was helping people instead of making the process transparent and making sure that everyone was part of the development of the project. So I think for me, my biggest lessons are always bring people into the process as much as possible. Be transparent with your choices, your decision making, and at every possible way, make sure that your team and everybody who needs to be involved has an opportunity to have voice, choice, and can help design whatever it is that needs to be done.
I think I get the voice and choice, and I definitely agree with you. What does transparency look like to you? Is that almost like thinking aloud while you're making decisions? Is it giving a rationale of why, you know, your organization's moving in a direction? How do you define transparency? How do you do it?
That's a good question. I think for me, it has been making sure that there's different groups are involved in the process. So sometimes the administration, we have a research team we work with, making sure that we always have diverse groups at the table so that our work is transparent from research into the work we do with professional learning, that I'm not the only one who has the information, that we bring everyone to the table. I also think, just like you said, with my own thinking, why I'm making decisions, talking through it with the team, having one-on-ones with people to make sure that they understand what I'm thinking and I understand what they're thinking.
I appreciate those specific examples. I mostly ask all these questions for me to become a better leader. Like, this podcast is maybe not so clandestine attempt to like try to improve my own leadership skills, but I'm glad that people do listen so that they hopefully sharpen their saw, so to speak, as well. Katie, knowing what you know now as a researcher, as all the experience you had as an educator, what would you tell new principals?
I think it's the same thing that I'm focusing on in my own leadership right now. I would make sure that all leaders are focusing on people's strengths, that they're to really bring out the most in each individual and to make sure that people are really building on their own unique talents and strengths, that have that focus on what people can do best. Too often, I think in education, we're really focused on the deficit model from our kids, what we need to improve in them and where they're weak and where they need remediation. Our teachers, we're focused on where we need to help them improve rather than what they're doing already to make things better. So I really think that we could do a better job in all of education and in the support of education to focus on what people are doing well and where they want to grow and how they can continue to build on their own unique strengths.
In addition to observational data of your people and identifying their strengths that way, Is there any other type of tool that you use to identify strengths?
Yeah, we just had our whole center go through the Gallup Strengths.
Oh, Strengths Finders?
Inventory. Strengths Finders, which has been really a great resource for us. And we're actually helping schools use that with their own staff so that we can help staff understand their individual strengths and who they are so that they can then bring that into their classroom and build on strengths for students.
Do you remember your top five by any chance?
Oh, I do. My first one is woo. My second is positivity, communication, relator, and activator.
Is woo influence? Am I remembering that correct? Or I don't.
Yes. Okay. So I have been told that the woo and relator are directly at odds. So the woo is liking to talk to a lot of people, and the relator is wanting to go really deep with one or two people.
Interesting.
So I like to do both.
That's great. I don't know I can't remember all five. It stinks. I took this maybe even a decade ago, but activator was definitely number one. So I get excited, which is great, right? Give me initiative and I am running with it. But then I sometimes forget there's a whole bunch of people with me and that causes problems at times. Learner for sure. And then I know belief is a big one, but I can't remember the last two. It drives me nuts. I can't find my code.
So you should,
I should do it.
It
again, right?
You should do it with your staff. You should do it and then do it with your staff, your new staff.
I have really thought about that because, I'll be in a new building. At the time of this recording, I'm getting some offers. So I know that I'll be in a new building when this is out and live. And that's definitely something I want to do because I agree with you 1,000%. I want to be a strengths focused leader. You can spend so much time, right, trying to improve your weaknesses too and focusing on the negative. But why not just build up our strengths so that you're genius level at whatever that is? And then people are going to feel great about themselves too, because you know what they do well and you're putting them in a position to succeed. That's just going to help the organization thrive. And I think too, it's really important to consider as you build your teams, right? Because if I'm still an activator number one, which I probably am, I don't need a team of activators. I need people that complement that strength because I go so far ahead of everyone. Who's going to pull me back sometimes and slow me down? That's what I need.
Right. And even understanding, I think back to your point about transparency, my team knows I'm an activator. And so we have to, I can talk about that and say, and they can pull me back and say, we need more details or we need to think about how to make this happen. But knowing each other's strengths and knowing how we balance each other out helps us be transparent, helps us know our place and where we need to bring other people in to support us to do our jobs well.
So good. I love that you're connected to the StrengthFinder stuff. Thank you for sharing what you know about it. Katie, what would you consider one class we should add to schools that currently is not taught that you're aware of?
Wow. I don't know if it's a class, so I'm going to kind of go out on a limb a little bit. But one of the things that we are really passionate here about at the University of San Diego, and we're really working to develop based on the strengths, is this whole notion of or connection to the world of work. And so developing curriculum and resources to help students understand who they are and where they fit in the world and how that connects to some different career possibilities. So I think that there needs to be, if it was a class or whatever it is, a space where kids can really start to understand who they are and where they fit and really cultivate different resources and experiences to help them get where they need to go in the world.
Love it. Connection to work, seeing themselves in the real world. I'm really interested in system structures that help people be wildly successful like yourself. How do you avoid distractions and stay focused? Do you have any type of boundaries set up at work to help make sure that you're a success?
Oh, distractions are hard. We have an open office and we have a team that is in and out all the time. So I'm not going to lie, that is a challenge. I try and be as present and flexible for my team and the people around us when possible, which means that other work, I come in early before anyone gets here. So I try and get all that work done in that hour or two before the rest of the team shows up. But I still working on finding those boundaries, not going to lie.
I appreciate the honesty. Thank you. What would you consider a one book that every principal should read right now and why?
Oh, that's a good question. One of my favorite books is for, I think, all principals and leaders, just because it's an easy, practical, great stories, is George Quarles' Innovator's Mindset. I haven't met anyone yet who hasn't read it, who hasn't really felt compelled to do something different and to really embrace change after reading the book. So I would strongly recommend it.
Okay, we'll have that linked up for our listeners too in the show notes. So you could pick up Innovator's Mindset. You could also pick up Strength Finders 2.0 if you choose to. So personally, what do you like to do for fun?
Well, I have two young children and an awesome husband. We love to go to the beach and hike, and we just bought a new house with a pool, so we've been spending lots of time swimming.
Good for you. And San Diego, that area is so, so beautiful.
Yes, and travel any chance we get.
I am on a mission to defeat everybody I meet in rock, paper, scissors. And so I'm collecting data from every person I interview to find out what they'd throw. So you have to be honest.
Okay.
And if we met in person and played rock, paper, scissors, what would you throw first?
Rock.
Okay. Thank you.
did I win?
I can't tell. I'm collecting the data. Analyze it, you know, put it up for peer review, and then the tournament will begin.
I love it.
These are going to be some crazy questions. There's going to be five in a row. They're just, would you rather? I go to either.io and pick them off. They're just ridiculous. Sometimes I adapt them. So just have fun. Would you rather be Princess Leia or Hermione Granger?
Oh, boy. Hermione Granger.
Would you rather eat waffles or eat pancakes?
Pancakes.
Would you rather win a one-day shopping spree to any store of your choice or a two-week vacation to any destination?
Two-week vacation.
Would you rather be an excellent singer or an excellent dancer?
Dancer.
And would you rather wear a Barney costume the rest of your life or wear a scuba diver costume for the rest of your life?
Oh, that's horrible.
Sorry, you have to answer.
I'll go with a scuba diver because Barney, I just don't know if I can handle that.
So good. Awesome. Katie, you've been a phenomenal guest. This is the last question of the interview. If you could hack all the school marquees around our nation for one day, what message would you display?
Oh, I love that. What message would I display? I'm looking at my wall. What it says on my wall right now is unleash the power that exists in each individual.
So unleash the power that exists in every individual. I love that.
Yeah.
Katie, thank you so much for being a part of the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. Do you have any parting words of advice, and what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Parting words of advice? No, I just keep learning. You know, the more we keep learning and modeling and sharing what we're learning, the better we're going to be for the students we serve. So that's my parting words of advice. And the best way to get a hold of me is either on Twitter or email.
And we'll have both of those linked up in the show notes for the listeners. Better Leaders, thank you for investing in yourself today by listening to this podcast. Remember that life is 10% of what happens to you and 90% of how you react to it. Go out there today and be a better leader. Today's podcast was brought to you by Daniel and Katie. Be better starting today by heading over to betterleadersbetterschools.com and type Katie in the search bar. The show notes page will pop up where you'll get the highlights of today's episode and links to all the resources. Katie, thanks again for being such an amazing guest and sharing your leadership insights and helping the better leaders be better.
Thank you. It was my pleasure.
Better Leaders, thank you for joining us on the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. Visit us at betterleadersbetterschools.com, a blog and podcast made specifically for you to help you meet your leadership potential. Have you gotten value from today's show? Help me reach even more listeners by leaving a 5-star rating and review. Click the podcast artwork and press the Show Some Love link to leave an honest rating and review. A long, long time ago in a galaxy far away, patrons would sponsor artists to create something the patron valued. Would you consider becoming a patron of the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast? If you found this podcast valuable, if the show has pushed your thinking about leadership, and if you've benefited in any way, then I would be honored if you would become a sponsor. Sponsorship is easy. Head over to patreon.com/better or click the link in the show notes to become a patron for as little as $1 a month. If you pledge $10 a month, I'll send you one of my favorite leadership books every other month. That's patreon.com/better or click the link in the show notes. Do you have a question or need some leadership advice? I want to connect with you. I read every email, tweet, snap that's sent to me. Links are in the show notes to connect via email and social media. Better Leaders, Better Schools is a proud member of the Edu Podcast Network, podcast for educators, podcast by educators. You can listen to more great education podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com.